think you're just still the only one, huh?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I think that was Judy. Has she come back on?
No, she hung up, and I don't know if she's come back on, but I'm going to start.
Okay.
You may have some trouble getting on, as you did.
Well, I just got a message that said it popped up saying storm coming. So I hope it's not coming from the west, because that's Judy.
Okay.
She's had enough rain.
I'm sorry?
That she's had enough rain.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Nishem Yehud Kut Shabrehu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urkimu Utkilu Utkilu Urkimu Leakta Lashem Yudhe Bovate Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadonai Elohino Elena Masei Adena Penene Elena Masei Adena Penenehu. We are beginning our class in the evolution of God. We are still in section 2, chapter 9, and where this is, I believe, the third time we've been in this chapter. We've reached the point where we're talking about the Olamot, the four worlds. And that's beginning at page 123. The Sephirot are the basic pattern underlying all of creation. Even the Sephirot themselves follow this pattern in that each Sephirah has 10 Sephirot within them. Each of these 10 has 10 within them, and so on into infinity. So in reality, there are not just 10 Sephirot, there are an infinite number. Each Sephirah being the subjective part of a greater Sephirah, which itself is only a part of a greater Sephirotic whole. We know what this paragraph has been saying. We've discussed it many times from the basic classes. In order to give some semblance of organization to this extremely complex universe of ours, the Sephirot are divided into worlds, which are individual spheres of influence. No Sephirah acts independently. Hashem manifests himself through specific Sephirot within specific realms of creation. The face of God, which is revealed, is called a partsuf. This aspect will be discussed shortly. The specific realm of creation that manifests a partsuf is called an olam, a world or a realm. Each olam or realm is not a physical location, but rather a level of sephirotic manifestation. These realms are the levels of differentiation in creation. Each realm expresses life in accordance to that Sephirah, which formed it. God is manifest in each realm in accordance to the Sephirah manifest therein. These realms are called the Olamot, the worlds. There are five worlds in the general scheme of things. Each world is, of course, subdivided into smaller worlds, Sephirot and Partsufim. More of the subdivisions will be discussed later. The first of the five general worlds is called Adam Kadmon, the primordial man. This is the realm, the Olam, of the general Sephirah Keter. Adam Kadmon manifests the interactions within the Sephirah Keter. The first and highest of the worlds is the will, or the essence of being. This is the spark of the divine that gives existence to everything in creation. For without a sense of essence and identity, no molecular structure would know to maintain its integrity in its given form. Therefore, Adam Kadmon, the will of the universe,
has joined.
Is the primordial blueprint of everything in creation. Due to the fact that Adam Kadmon is so sublime and unable to be comprehended, he has no form of representation within creation. While Adam Kadmon most certainly exists within creation, his being is still beyond that which any form or vessel can hold. Therefore, although Adam Kadmon manifests all the other worlds, he himself is considered too concealed to be revealed. So when we refer to the realms, the worlds, we normally do not count Adam Kadmon, but only the lower four worlds, for they are almost, for they alone manifest in both force and form. The second of the five worlds and the first realm to manifest creation, as we know it, is Atzilut. To give a commentary on this first discussion of Adam Kadmon, the majority of what Rabbi Bar Sadak has said, I do agree with. But there are certain nuances that he has said that I'm not quite aware of. He's basically saying that each world is, wherever there is a partsuf, wherever there is a structure of ten sephirot, that's a world. And then he goes and says, well, there's only these five basic worlds. This does not reconcile, and I disagree with it. From my perspective, a world is the Sephirah as a vessel. And yes, it has the ten Sephirot within it. But those ten Sephirot within it are a form of fulfillment. The world is a form and a partsuf. The Sephirah is the vessel or the form within the world. There's essence and form. Essence is the spiritual, the inner essence. The form is a vessel to reveal that inner essence. This is the essence of a world. It is the essence that will be revealed in the partsuf described. I hope that's clearer for you. So the world of Atzilut. The world of Atzilut is where Adam Kadmon takes a form that is recognizable to the realms below. Together, Adam Kadmon and Atzilut form a relationship to one another, which might be called the spirit and the body, or the essence and the form. The light of God's ultimate essence descends into the void only to the bottom of Atzilut. Beneath this, the light of Atzilut descends into the lower realms. Therefore, there is a major difference between Atzilut and the lower realms. Adam Kadmon and Atzilut together are called the Creator, whereas the lower three realms or worlds will be called the creation. Atzilut is the realm of the general Sephirot. Atzilut is the realm of the divine. Atzilut is the realm from where God is revealed to creation, although Atzilut is only a body to Adam Kadmon, and Adam Kadmon is a body to the ultimate essence. The En Sof is the ultimate essence. The realm of Atzilut is the realm of pure spirit. This realm of the divine is above all human comprehension. It is the exclusive realm of Hashem. Atzilut means emanation, for Atzilut is merely an emanation and a reflection of Adam Kadmon. This realm of Atzilut creates the lower three worlds, which are each reflections of the subjective levels within Atzilut itself. The first of the three lower worlds that reflect Atzilut is called Bria, the realm of mind. There are some very valid statements in this paragraph, in these paragraphs about Atzilut. But for discussion purposes, to truly begin to understand what is a world and the structure of the four worlds, a world is the essence of a partsuf, which is a structure of the ten sephirot. In essence, the world is the sephirah when it is fulfilled by light, when its process of growth that creates the ten sephirot, which creates the partsuf. The partsuf is a vessel being fulfilled by the essence, which is called world. That's what Rabbi Ashlag is. That's what Rabbi Bar Sadok is explaining. But he's saying that the essence, the En Sof, the light of the En Sof, the light of the endless, is the spirit that the vessel of Adam Kadmon reveals. And then the spirit of Adam Kadmon is revealed in the world of Atzilut. The relationship of essence or spirit and form or vessel is true throughout the various worlds. But what makes Atzilut unique among the worlds is that the light of the essence that is revealed in Adam Kadmon, which is the endless world, that light, that spirit, will also fill Adam Kadmon. I mean, it will fill Atzilut, but it will not go any lower. That's what makes the world of Atzilut so sublime so ethereal and so difficult for people to understand this concept of a world. Simply, a world is essence revealed in a vessel. But the vessel consists of 10 sephirot. The vessel consists of a partsuf, a structure of 10 sephirot. By virtue of it being a partsuf, that vessel can reveal significantly more light, and it can reveal significantly more and greater interactions within the structure of the 10 sephirot. I have described the world as the fulfillment of the desire. In order for a desire to be fulfilled, it requires the partsuf. It requires interaction with the vessel above it. I hope that's being clear.
Has joined.
The world of Bria. This is the realm that begins to manifest diversity in the end unity of creation. The word Bria itself means creation. In Atzilut, Hashem's unity is recognized in all of the partsufim, all of the 10 sephirot. From Berea and below, Hashem's unity begins to be blurred. The realm or the level of Berea is called the throne of Hashem. Kisei HaKavod, the throne of the honored. A spark of the Malchut of Atzilut cloaks itself within the Keter of Berea and thus enlivens it. Bria, however, begins a new form of manifestation, and these new manifestations are called souls, neshamot. Bria is the realm of the Sephirah Bina, the realm of I am what I am. In other words, the realm of mind, the abstract level of pure consciousness. Souls are manifestations of consciousness. They are beyond the realm of body and form as we understand them. Nonetheless, they have a very specific identity that both unites them and distinguishes one from the other. Berea is the highest realm outside of Hashem, and thus the closest to Him. Therefore, the spark of Hashem dwells within Berea. In other words, God's presence, in Hebrew, His Shekhinah, dwells upon and within the manifestations within Bria, which are the Neshamot souls. It is these souls that are the throne of Hashem, for Hashem dwells upon and within them. As Bria manifests division, the diversity of souls, it is the source of judgment in the universe. For judgment always decides between what is right and what is wrong. Rhea, which is Bina, embodies perception, which is the true definition of consciousness. For Chokhmah is unconscious. Therefore, it is baryatic perception, which is pure mind. Consciousness, which constructs the forms and not the essence of the lower worlds that are yet to come. Rhea, Bina, is the mother of the laws of creation. When Hashem manifests this aspect of himself, he is called Elohim, which technically means a judge. This is the name of Hashem used when creating the universe in Genesis chapter 1. This signifies that God or Hashem created the 7 days of creation from the aspect of judgment. Judging from the severity of the laws of nature, this point should not be in doubt. It is the 7 days of creation and their spiritual counterparts that are the next two worlds, the first of which corresponds to the 6 days of work and is known as Yetzirah. There is a lot of expressions being taught here in the world of Bria. The most important thing is to realize that Bria is the beginning of separation. It's the beginning of judgment. And it is the essence of the revelation of Hashem. For the world of Yetzirah, this realm is the realm of the heart and the place of motivation. It is here in Yetzirah that the pure mind of Bria becomes infused with passion, passion being an emotion. The entities manifest at the Yetzirah level are therefore very highly polarized and charged to accomplish specific tasks. These entities are not so much thinking entities as much as feeling entities. Being that they do not emanate from them the realm of mind, these Yetzirotic entities do not possess what I will call the thinking function, for that is the exclusive domain for those of baryatic consciousness. Yetzirotic entities, therefore, are kind of like the animals of the spiritual, non-physical planes. We know them as angels when they manifest functions and missions from above, from the world of Atzilut. Otherwise, when these entities perform acts of their own, we know them as demons. The name Yetzirah means formation, for Yetzirah gave form to that dimension, which we know as time. Each of the six Sephirot of Yetzirah manifest and form one of the 6 days of creation, following the form of their Sephirotic emanation. Yetzirah, as the realm of time, also is the realm of emotions. For as time comes and goes, but is never stationary, so are emotions. The realm of Yetzirah is the closest to our physical world. Therefore, emotions, more than pure thought, often direct our actions. It is these Yetzirotic influences that we are able to cognize in the form of archetypes of the personal and collective unconscious. Baryatic entities, being that they are pure mind, also take on a pictorial form that our minds cognize in an archetypal form. However, baryatic beings can only be cognized once the mind is calm and clear of emotion. This level is not reached by the vast majority of people. Yetzirotic beings, on the other hand, are able to be cognized whenever there is strong emotion and a strong emotional attachment, be it to something good or to something evil. The human mind has two functions. One is cognition of the external world surrounding us. The other is the experience of the internal world of the unconscious within us. Therefore, we are humans. We as humans can experience the archetypes of yetzirotic reality through our unconscious mind. As we know, our dream language, archetypal yetzirotic reality, is cognized in symbolic pictorial form. Therefore, people experiencing non-physical reality always picture it through some kind of vision or similar apparently visual experience. Rabbi Chaim Vital writes in his Sharei Kedushah, Part 3, that with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the gateways of direct baryatic experience were closed. Thus the prophet Ezekiel saw his vision, recorded in Ezekiel chapter 1, through the filter of the Yetzirotic realm. Rabbi Chaim says that all Atzilutic and Baryatic experiences will today be filtered through Yetzirotic archetypes. It must be remembered that when a prophet sees a vision, he is not seeing an external reality, but an internal one. The pathway to prophecy is within the mind, a mind that is calm and in control of one's emotions. The Kabbalists have taught that prophecy has its source in the two sephirot of Netzach and Hod. One imposes order, Netzach, and the other brings down the benefit, Hod, from the activity. And this explains why prophetic messages always consisted of moral admonitions. All prophetic predictions of the future were based upon the rewards or punishments, and my understanding would be cause and effects of receiving and conforming to the divine order, which is Netzach. Yetzirah, the realm of the angels, is a domain that is lower than the souls, the neshamot. Therefore, the source of the human soul is much higher than that of an angel. However, the angels are of a higher state when we as humans are disconnected from our baryatic source. And this will not be rectified fully until the coming of Mashiach. Yetzirah is the realm in closest proximity to the final level of Asiyah, the realm of the physical, being that Yetzirah is the closest to us. The physical plane is most subject to its influence. This last realm, Asiyah, Malchut, is the center of all and the purpose of all creation. The world of Asiyah. I'm not really discussing the world of Yetzirah, other than to understand that the world of Yetzirah is multitasked. The world of Yetzirah is revealing the essence of creation, which is Beria. In order to reveal that, the separation must begin to be manifested. In the world of Asiyah, this is the realm of the physical, both what is seen and unseen to the human eye. The realm of Asiyah is the realm of matter, which traditional Torah sources tell us are divided into the four basic elements of fire, air, water, and earth. However, that which we recognize as these elements are not what these elements truly are, as each realm has aspects of all the other realms. The realm of matter, as we know it, is the Asiya within Asiya. Therefore, the fire, the air, the water, and the earth that we perceive are the four worlds, the realms of the Asiya of Asiya. Earth at this level, therefore is the lowest of the four, and thus is subjective. Asiya. Thus the earth, the ground under our feet, is the Asiya that is within the Asiya of Asiya. This is a nice way of saying that there is a physical world, and above the physical world is Malchut of Yetzirah. All forms of physical matter, as we know it, are therefore only the Asiya within Asiya. The conclusion that the Kabbalists learn from this is that there exists in the universe and on our planet Earth other forms of matter of a higher and purer nature than what our eyes recognize. Some of these other forms we have begun to recognize as atomic and subatomic particles and waves and beams. These and other yet undiscovered forms of matter are as real mind concrete as that which we truly experience. These other forms of matter form entire universes, which exist parallel to our own. For example, the rabbis speak of what is called a halucha de Rabbanan, which is the Torah term for what today is popularly called the astral body. Rabbi Chaim Vital, in his book Etz Chaim, describes this other body of ours, which clothes our soul and exists within and surrounding our physical body. This astral body is nourished by the energy effects of a person's actions within the realm of matter. It thus appears that this astral body, and thus the entire astral plane, are made up of a form of matter that we can define as being the Yetzirah of Asiya, which is one step above the Asiya of which our bodies are made. Like the trials of Sephiroth, the four worlds are always abbreviated and are called Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. By their initials, they become Abeya. Therefore, each world or realm has a complete Abeya within it. whenever we discuss a world, we have to know which level within which world we are discussing. Without this spiritual roadmap, one will get just as lost as it would one in a foreign country without any directions or knowledge of the language. That's the end of chapter 9. In my opinion, Rabbi Bar Sadok did not do well in the discussion of these worlds. The main takeaway is that each world is the spirit of the world below it. And each world has different levels, dimensions, we call them sometimes. But each world has multi-level and multi-beings, multi-levels of being. But essentially, each world is the spirit of the world below it. That's the completion of today's class. Does anyone have any questions? Chapter 10, which we will take up next week, is titled Analyzing Revelation, Understanding the Parameters of the Images Perceived Within the Human Mind. Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts? You all have a beautiful afternoon. Our next class will be at 1 p.m. It will be a class on advanced reincarnation that will start in about an hour. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.